So the topic for this evening is Krishna. Who is Krishna? And the person that knows about Krishna is Shukadev Goswami, and he's going to speak something about Krishna. And we're going to speak something about what Shukadev Goswami speaks about Krishna. Second Canto, Chapter 7, Texts number 26 and 27. They're about Krishna. Chapter 7 of the second canto is very much like Chapter 3 of the first canto. Chapter 3 of the first canto is Suta Goswami answering the sages of Naimisharanya, one of their questions, which was, can you please describe those forms of the Lord as they appear within that which the Lord himself has created? So to oblige the sages, Suta Goswami answers based upon what he heard from Shukadev. Now it's Shukadev Goswami speaking the same subject matter that Suta spoke about in the first canto as he heard from Shukadev. Now it's Shukadev speaking it, addressing similar, almost identical question from chapter 4 of the second canto. Maharaj Parikshit asks many questions, not just 6. Whole chapter full of questions. And one of those questions is, describe those forms of the Lord as they appear. This is Krishna Katha. Of course, it's also Krishna Katha to hear about the creation, because that's one of the Lord's forms as the Purusha avatar. And then there's what the Lord does. He makes the creation happen. Then there's Leela avatars. There's forms of the Lord that appear within that creation. And he's fulfilling certain purposes. And that's what is going to be discussed this evening. Who is Krishna? And what is his purpose in appearing in this world? I'll give you a hint at what the answer is that comes. We can say, Krishna says, his reason for appearing, sambhavami yuge yuge, is 3 things. Pritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam. What's the rest of the verse? Pritranaya sadhanam vinashaya chaduskritam. You don't know the verse? For tomorrow evening you'll learn the verse. Pritranaya sadhanam. You know the verse? Vinashaya chaduskritam dharma sangstha panartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. For tomorrow evening you'll learn the verse. You too, okay? Okay. So Krishna comes for these 3 reasons. To protect the devotees, to relieve the burden of the earth of the Vaniya kings, Vinashaya Chaduskritam, and to reestablish the principles of Dharma. Dharma Sangstha Panartaya. Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. But as we're going to hear Prabhupada explaining, Krishna doesn't need to come personally to do that. He can do those things through other persons. The purpose of his appearing is to to show himself, he who is not visible to ordinary eyes, he makes himself visible even to ordinary eyes and displays those pastimes that he performs in the spiritual world to attract the hearts and the minds of the conditioned souls to return to the spiritual world and to give subject matter for us to give Srimad Bhagavatam class in Hyderabad on a Saturday evening. To give us Krishna Katha, to pull us out of the material attraction into the spiritual attraction, become attached to Krishna. I'll do a little 2-minute detour and come back. I had a situation a couple weeks before coming to India where I was told it's going to be a new group of people and you should just, you know, could you please make a very simple level presentation so that new people can learn something. Okay. As sometimes happens, or often happens, it happened. They didn't come. You know, people say, yes, yes, surely I will come. And they didn't come because they've got other things going on in their lives. It was a social yes, a factual no. So here we were, assembly of people, and there was a number of young boys and one girl. So I decided I would give the class for the kids, which would be edifying for the adults because I think the kids need to know, adults need to know too, usually. So I asked a question and I asked them to please supply the answer. You ready? Here's the question. The question was, supposing there's a traveling soul, an individual soul that's passing through so many different experiences of life, birth after birth, this species, this place, this body, that, all over the place. And they're searching for happiness. And after long time they come to realize there isn't really happiness here. I don't really want to keep trying to find happiness in this place. I want to go to Krishna. Why is it they can't just do a U-turn and go to Krishna? Why? All you have to do is think of Krishna, become Krishna's devotee, worship Krishna and offer obeisances to Krishna. Manmana, you know that verse? Bhava mad bhakto, mad yaji mam namaskuru. Just do that. Just do a U-turn. Go to Krishna. Should be easy. Why is it so difficult? The kids came up with some great answers. This thing, that thing. Then the little girl raised her hand. She said, just like that, she said, the soul says yes. The body says, I want sense gratification. Picking up on her cue, another young boy said, and the mind says, I want to be independent. So we have this tug of war, the soul that says, I want Krishna. And the mind says, uh-uh, sense gratification. And the mind says, I want to give up my independence. I want to be independent. And there's this tug of war. And conditioning, just like the discussion this morning about how do we sustain the spiritual conception, conditioning factor is very strong. It's not only this lifetime. Lifetimes and lifetimes and strong, deep conditioning. I want sense gratification in all species of life. And then we get this souped up human form of life that's with a developed mind that says, independence. And the soul is with a soft voice inside saying, I want Krishna. The other two win, generally. So Krishna comes to capture that soul and attract. That's the name, what the name Krishna means, right? All attractive. Krish is to attract. He attracts like a magnet attracts iron filings. Krishna attracts. So he who cannot be seen makes himself seen and experienced and subject matter for hearing. One can become attracted to Krishna just by hearing. Like Rukmini became completely attached to Krishna just from hearing. She hadn't seen Krishna, right? She just heard about Krishna. And she gave herself completely to Krishna. So Krishna came and took her away. Or Muchakunda, not as prominent a personality, but certainly as a pure devotee. Muchakunda had never seen Krishna. But he was an unalloyed devotee of Krishna. So Krishna performed a special pastime where Muchakunda could meet him by bringing Kaliyavana before him to turn him into ashes and then stand before Muchakunda, who didn't know, because he had never seen Krishna. But in the presence of Krishna, he came to realize it was Krishna just because he was Krishna, because he's all attractive. And other examples. Trying to think of the name of the king, Shutadev. Shutadev, who was a king in a far-off province, and he had never the opportunity to see Krishna because he was so busy serving Krishna so far away. Krishna, knowing his pure devotee, he went to meet him. With all of his royal entourage from Dwarka, just to meet with Shutadev because of his love, just from hearing. So that's Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the presentation. Krishna is presenting himself in a literary form or in sound vibration form so that our hearts can become attracted to him. So that's what we're doing this evening. It's Krishna Katha evening. Being with Krishna by sound vibration. And who can better present Krishna through sound vibration than Shukadev Goswami? Shukadev Goswami is so expert, so gifted, that even his own father, Vyasadeva, was the father of Shukadev Goswami. Vyasadeva wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami. Even he taught it to Shukadev Goswami. Pivata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam Shukam Mukhad. The like a parrot takes a fruit that's growing from a tree. And because he doesn't just eat the fruit, he softens the fruit. From the outside there's a skin, and with his beak he makes the fruit soft. I've seen people do that here in India with mangoes. You make the fruit soft mango soft, and then you just drink the juice? You know that one. When the beak of Shuka Deva speaks the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam, it makes that already relishable nectarine juice even more sweet, because his position in the spiritual realm is he's the parrot of Radharani, and he speaks the message of Srimad Bhagavatam so sweetly. So we're going to hear the first place where in Srimad Bhagavatam Shukadeva Goswami is directly speaking about Krishna himself. It's in a list of incarnations, chapter 7 of canto 2. So just previous is Ramachandra. Now here's what he says about Krishna, 26 and 27. When the world is overburdened by the fighting strength of kings who have no faith in God, the Lord, just to diminish the distress of the world, descends with his plenary portion. With his plenary portion. Who's that? Balaram. That's the plenary portion. Atma Mahima. Kalaya. So, the glorious Lord himself and his expansion. The Lord comes in his original form with beautiful black hair. Doesn't describe his flute, doesn't describe his eyes, doesn't describe his peacock feather. It describes his beautiful black hair. So Prabhupada has a 2-paragraph purport talking about Krishna's hair. I'll read it. It's very nice. And just to expand his transcendental glories, he acts extraordinarily. No one can properly estimate how great he is. Listen to the language. Prabhupada is going to use this phrase. This whole unit is known as the Supreme Brahman. So, extract that out, and when Jiva Goswami does this in his Sandarbhas, he says in the Sandarbhas, there's forget which one. Anyway, in one of his Sandarbhas, he says, whenever we hear the word Brahman mentioned in the Vedas, we should understand it means the various aspects. And ultimately, it means Bhagavan, because, as Prabhupada is writing here, the unit is the Supreme Brahman. Just like Parabrahman is also Brahman. The personality of God is the Supreme Brahman. And the living entity is also Brahman. And all the expansions, partial and complete, it's all Brahman, coming from Krishna. Even the material energy is described in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita as Mahad Brahman. Yes? So the word Brahman is used in various ways, depending upon, because everything comes from the one source, and Krishna is that one source. So whenever we hear Brahman, we should think, Jiva Goswami, we should understand, implied is Bhagavan. Just like when we say sunshine, implied is there's a sun, because you don't have sunshine without a sun. So here, listen. This verse is especially describing the appearance of Lord Krishna and his immediate expansion, Lord Baladev. Both Lord Krishna and Lord Baladev are one, Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is omnipotent, and He expands Himself in innumerable forms and energies, and the whole unit is known as the Supreme Brahman, in capital letters, Supreme Brahman. Such extensions of the Lord are divided into two divisions, namely, personal and differential. Sounds like an automobile part. Differential. Anyway. The personal expansions are called Vishnu tattvas, and the differential expansions are called Jiva tattvas. And in such expansional activity, Lord Baladev is the first personal expansion of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the first paragraph. So the picture is, Krishna means all of this. And so when he appears, Krishna's appearing. He appears with all of this. Especially mentioned is his first expansion, Lord Baladev. Then the next paragraph is long, and where Prabhupada starts it and ends it meets, and then there's the middle part. So where he starts it is by saying, a name for Krishna, or a way for describing Krishna, is he who cannot be seen. Like Adhoksaja. What does Adhoksaja mean? What does Aksaja mean? Seeing. Or the eyes, Adhoksaja, he was beyond the range of the eyes to see. So, Prabhupada writes, in the Vishnu Purana, as well as in the Mahabharata, both Krishna and Baladeva are mentioned as having beautiful black hair. Even in their advanced age, the Lord is called Anupalaksha Marga, or in even more technical terms, Avan Manasa Gochara. That is, one who is never to be seen or realized by the limited personal sense perception of people in general. Yet he has long, beautiful hair. So it's not like an apparition or a ghost floating around with long, beautiful hair. You just can't see the person. It's just the ghost with long, beautiful black hair. Not like that. But he can't be seen in the following way. In the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. In other words, he reserves the right of not being exposed to anyone and everyone. Only the bona fide devotees can know him by his specific symptoms. So one of those symptoms that Shukadeva Goswami chose to mention, and so Prabhupada, being very faithful, follows Shukadeva Goswami, and he mentions Sita Krishna Keshaha. Krishna has beautiful blackish hair. Prabhupada's comment, even when they were of a senior age, over 125 years of age, blackish hair. They didn't use tint or dye. In fact, not only his hair didn't become gray, but his form was ever youthful. So Prabhupada paraphrases from the Sri Brahma Samhita that Krishna is ever youthful. But Krishna being ever youthful, it's because that's his nature. He can appear however he likes. He can appear in a forearm form, as he did in the prison house of Kamsa. He can appear in a little baby form, as he did for the pleasure of Vasudeva and Devaki. He can appear in a small boy so the cowherd boys can play with him in the forest. He can appear like a youth so that the young Vraja damsels could enjoy with Krishna in rasa dance and amorous pastimes of many kinds. Krishna can appear however he likes. He can appear as a fish. In one of the purports we just read, Narada is speaking to Vasudeva, and Narada is explaining to Vasudeva that his son is the personality of Godhead, and very much like Gargamuni in the name-giving ceremony, he indirectly indicated that Krishna is the personality of Godhead by saying he has different colors in different ages. Shukla, Rakta, Tata, Pita. This son of yours is the personality of Godhead. But he did so indirectly. To Vasudeva it was directly. And he described that this son of yours, he appears in all the different species of life. And Prabhupada, in one translation, adds in the vegetable species. Now, I don't know anywhere. Aquatics, yes. Amphibians, yes. Animal, yes. Half man, half animal, yes. But in the vegetable species, I don't know of any incarnation like that. But Prabhupada mentioned. So, but he's nonetheless the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some of the forms of the Lord that are also in this Lila Avatar category, this is a detail, they don't manifest this particular form that's manifested here. It's not visible or available, or one doesn't get the darshan of Matsya Avatar in the spirit, in the Vaikuntha. But he's a worshipable form of the Lord nonetheless. Prabhupada explained this in one letter in 1970. He used the word naimittik, as in nimitta. Nimitta matram bhavya savya sachin. You know that verse from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is instructing Arjuna, become my nimitta, my instrument. So there's naimittik forms of the Lord that manifest in this realm, but in Vaikuntha realm the form is Narayana, and in this realm it's Matsya, or another example is Narasimhadev. As we know from the 7th canto Bhagavatam, when the goddess of fortune saw this form of Lord Narasimhadev, she was astonished. She had never seen such form before, right? It's specifically described. Although that's the form of the Supreme Lord. He came to protect Prahlad, but he came in a form suitable for the circumstance. He upheld the promise or the benediction given by Lord Brahma that Hiranyakashipu could not be killed this way, that way. So neither by man, nor beast, nor demigod. Sure, no problem. Lord Narasimhadeva is not man, not beast, and not demigod. He's half man, half beast. And so forth. But the verse is saying, as it says also in the third chapter of the first canto, this form of the Lord is the original personality of Godhead. And he has long, beautiful, blackish hair. He always looks like a new, youthful boy. That is the characteristic of a spiritual body. No wrinkles, no gray hair, no old age, no disease, not even the other part, birth or death. It's a transcendental lila, his appearance and disappearance. And everything in between is fully transcendental. Prabhupada remarks about the sixth canto, Bhagavatam, when Ajamila, called Narayana, and so the Vishnu Dutas came. And when the Vishnu Dutas came, they're described very specifically as they were very beautiful. They had forearms, and they were very youthful, like young boys. A little bit older than you guys, but young boys with forearms too. Keep chanting. So this is a spiritual form. It's not material. It's ever youthful. They're eternal, but they're ever youthful in their appearance. And when these forms of the Lord appear, they appear by his internal potency, Atmamaya. Sambhavami Atmamaya. Krishna appears by his own potency. There's not any dependency upon external potency. There's no question, as the impersonalists say, that Brahman becomes covered by a subtle material form. And then we have a name for that subtle material form, and we call it this one, Krishna and Rama and Nrisimha and Varaha and so on. No. The forms are all spiritual. Now, how can spirit be seen for one who has material vision? The answer is you can't, unless one becomes qualified by spiritual practice or by mercy. So, therefore, the final paragraph, Krishna descends for what reason? Krishna descends so that those that cannot see, he who cannot be seen, can see him and then have subject matter for glorifying Krishna, just as Shukadeva Goswami is right now doing. Krishna comes just for the pleasure of his devotees. The devotees are hankering for Krishna's association, so he comes. He comes personally. When he comes as Krishna and Balaram, and he performs these most attractive pastimes to attract the hearts of the conditioned souls, and he shows features about himself that indicate his form is not material, his activities are not material, even his hair is not material. And he very mercifully interacts even with worldly people to attract them also. Just like the Srimad Bhagavatam can be distributed or received by anyone. And if the soul simply opens to receive that message about Krishna, the soul can be attracted to Krishna. Even a stubborn materialist can become attracted to Krishna. That's the power of Srimad Bhagavatam and the topics about Krishna. The next verse, text 27, to illustrate this, Krishna speaks specifically about three of his pastimes: the killing of Putana, the killing of Shakatasura, and the deliverance of the twin Arjuna trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. Partly I selected this verse because we're soon going to be entering Kartik month and the Damodar Lila will be taking place. So the verse reads, there is no doubt about Lord Krishna's being the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, how was it possible for him to kill a giant demon like Putana when he was just in the lap of his mother, to overturn a cart with his leg when he was only 3 months old, to uproot a pair of Arjuna trees so high they touched the sky when he was only crawling? All these activities are impossible for anyone other than the Lord himself. This is what Shukadeva Goswami chooses to speak about Krishna Katha. The first he speaks about Krishna Katha, so we'll follow in his footsteps. Putana was the first of the many demons sent by Kamsa, and she was very powerful. She was very vicious also. I mean, her fang was killing babies and drinking their blood. That was like her favorite thing. She was really good at it. So Kamsa sent her first. And she was a Kichuri, not a Kichori. She was a Kichuri. She was a witch. And she could ride on a broomstick. And she could take different forms that she liked to take. But you know how what her natural form was? It's described right within the Leela. After when Krishna was just so small, just a few days old, and anyone, mother or father or someone has seen a child that's just 3 or 4 days old, how tiny the child is, and how little their fingers are. And his little fingers, when given the poisoned breast of Putana, enough to kill thousands of people, breasts smeared with poison, he began squeezing her breast with his little, you know, like so tender fingers. Because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's not just little tender fingers. He's all the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it began to become very painful, and then he was sucking her milk from her breast, but sucking out her life air through her breast. And it was painful and fearful, and she began screaming, "Let go! Leave me!" And he wouldn't let go, and he wouldn't leave her. He kept sucking her life air from her body. And so she ran from the house. And as she ran from the house, she was screaming so loud, everyone was wondering, what terrible calamity is happening? And as his strength took away her strength, her power as a witch was being diminished. Her ability to assume that beautiful female form changed. And she took this huge, her original form, according to the purport here, 6 miles long. What's 6 miles long? I mean, when a plane flies in the air, 30,000 feet, 35,000 feet. That's how tall was the body of Putana. And she fell to the ground. Boom! And as she fell, all the trees and everything, all the pasturing grounds were smashed by her huge body. And here's this 3-4 day old little Krishna playing on the breast of Putana. Prabhupada comments, Krishna could have expanded his form to 6 miles long too. proof. As Lord Vamana, he, what to speak of 6 miles in 2 steps, he covered the whole universe. And he expanded his body so big so that his foot extended through the covering of the universe. So Krishna surely could have assumed as big a form as he wanted. But he didn't. He assumed a little 3-4 day-year-old baby form. Why? Because if he showed this 6-mile-long form, Mother Jasoda would have understood he's God. His divinity would have been exposed or shown to her, and that would have disturbed her love. And so Krishna simply wants to support and nurture the love of his devotee. And so he stayed in this little baby form so that Mother Jasoda, along with the elder gopis, could take that little baby form of Krishna and protect Krishna. She got the brahmanas to do rituals for the protection of her small child. She took a little calf and a little soft part at the end of the tail and placed Krishna and moved that soft part of the tail back and forth very quickly, like a chamara fan, bringing auspiciousness upon the little child Krishna, and bathed Krishna, performed abhishek, the affection of a mother. And Krishna was very happy to receive that love of Mother Jasoda. So he kept a little small baby form. Then when he was only 3 months old, I think I've seen more children that are 3 months old than 3 or 4 days old. But 3 months old is also very small. Very small. And little tiny, you know, think of little tiny children, 3 months old. Mother Jasoda placed him underneath a cart in the back. Instead of having a storeroom, or you say go down, she had a cart. Big heavy cart. And they put metal utensils and things and, you know, stored things on the cart. And Krishna's feet were little. And the wheels of the cart were tall. And the axle was tall, far taller than his feet. But Krishna, as Krishna, he didn't, like Vamani, he expanded his legs. As Krishna, he didn't even expand his legs. Somehow, he kicked the axle of the cart and the wheel of the cart, and the cart went flying in all directions. And all the utensils, heavy utensils, went crashing to the ground and crushed Shakatasura, the demon that was hiding and disguising himself in this way just to try to kill Krishna. The other children that saw all this happen, when Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj came and rescued Krishna, the children said, "We saw what happened." They were saying, "How did this happen? How did this happen? We saw what happened. Krishna reached up with his legs and he kicked the wheel of the cart and went flying in all directions." Yeah, right. And then this terrible featured personality came with folded palms. He was offering his obeisances to Krishna. Yeah, right. We saw the whole thing. Yes. Same with the deliverance of the two sons of Kuvera, when the little children were explaining what happened. "We were here, we saw little Krishna, just small boy, 6 months old, that grinding mortar that Mother Jasoda had tied Krishna's body around the waist with a rope. Krishna began crawling. He couldn't even walk yet. He was just crawling, that small. And as he crawled, the grinding mortar got caught between the two trees, and Krishna kept crawling, and he pulled the two trees over. Yeah, right. And these two majestic forms came out of the tree with folded palms, and they were saying things we couldn't understand to Krishna. Yeah, right. And then they circumambulated Krishna and they went somewhere together. Yeah, right. Very nice. You're cute kids. Here, have some prasadam, everything over there. No, we saw. So Krishna exhibited his divinity. That this is Shukadeva Goswami's point. Krishna exhibited his divinity even from the lap of his mother. Even before the lap of his mother, in the prison house of Kamsa. But from the lap of his mother to the killing of Shukatasura, to the deliverance of the Arjuna trees. Krishna didn't become Krishna, as there are yogis that have this idea. You practice this discipline, that austerity, and you become God. You become God by some mystic cities. Just become my student, give me some money, and I'll teach you how to become God. In the yogis, or at least so-called yogis with long beards, they would come to America and make that promise. You become God. I will teach you how you can become God. You follow this practice, put something in the hundi box over here, and I'll show you how to become God. Not like that. Krishna is not that kind. He's the original personality of Godhead, and eternally so, with spiritual form, appearing by his own internal potency and exhibiting his divinity from the very outset. This is Krishna. Shukadeva Goswami wants us to understand Krishna in that way. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Okay. Any comments or questions? Nice way to spend a Saturday night compared to what many people are doing in the world on a Saturday night.
Maharaj, when we say that only in human form of life we have an ability to develop our constitutional, revive our constitutional relationship. How do we understand that the purpose of Krishna's appearance in all the species of life, including vegetable species, as you said?
Or at least all species of life, and just leave off the vegetable part.
Yes.
One of the things that there's a very nice, very long and frankly esoteric answer that to that question that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur offered to this professor from America, Professor Southers, that came all the way from Ohio University to meet Bhaktisiddhanta, and is presented in his biography on this point. One of the things is that Krishna is the source of everything. He's not just the source of humans, he's the source of everything. So he appears in those various species, showing his divinity or his lordship over all. He's showing a supremacy over all. He is the source of everything, and therefore he is the Lord of all. But at the same time, he's exhibiting his, here's how Prabhupada described Krishna's his expertise. He knows just how to do something appropriate for time and circumstance. So at a time of a flood, he appeared as a fish. Or in order to rescue Prahlad, he appeared as half man, half lion, and bifurcated the body of Hiranyakashipu with his nails because to uphold the promise of Lord Brahma. So appropriate for the circumstance. Or Varaha, the earth had fallen into a bad place, so he took the form of a boar to rescue from the bad place. And it enhances Krishna's enjoyment that there's diversity in his pastimes and in his forms. Variety is the mother of enjoyment, Prabhupada would often quote. So Krishna's pastimes are diverse. His forms are diverse. Not stereotype, but very, very diverse. Okay.
Maharaj, it is said that Krishna's expansions are eternal. But at the same time, we number his expansions like first expansion, second expansion. It seems apparent contradiction is there, but so how to understand?
It seems that the...
Apparent contradiction.
What's the apparent contradiction?
But how to understand that?
What's the apparent contradiction?
Their expansions are, Krishna's expansions are eternal, but at the same time we say first expansion, Balaram, and second expansion.
That's not a contradiction. It's not a chronological expansion. It's not that once upon a time all there was Krishna. And he looked all around and said, boop, here's Balaram. Now that's nice, but let's see. Boop, now we have Pradumna and Aniruddha. And they thought, oh, that's nice, but we need some living entities. Boop, there's lots of living entities. It's not a chronological sequence. Not a chronological sequence. The forms are eternal. So to say first expansion indicates, you know, with that Lord Baladev, here's how Prabhupada has said it otherwise, Baladev is also the personality of Godhead with only one distinction, that is his color. Whitish instead of blackish. But there's also his mood. His mood is the servant of. It's only when we have Leela that we say Balaram is the elder brother of Krishna, although he's the first expansion of Krishna. That sounds like a contradiction. And in the previous form, he was the younger brother of Ram as Lakshman. But that's Leela. The other is not a chronological description, first expansion, but you can say ontological. What's the relationship? Krishna is the original. It's not a chronological you can say the same, you know, for living entities. Living entities are expansions of Krishna. Which is true. But it's not like once upon a time there was Krishna and he looked at his watch and said, I guess it's time now for some living entities. And there were living entities. They're eternal, but they're expansions of Krishna. Like rays of the sun are inseparable from the sun, but the rays are not the sun. So it's the expansion of the original.
I have one more question. It is said that Parabrahman is unchangeable.
It is said that which?
Parabrahman is unchangeable.
Paramatma?
Parabrahman.
Parabrahman. Okay.
But we see Krishna in different forms.
So that's a very good question. And when Krishna manifests varieties of form, it's not that he has changed, but he's manifesting varieties of form. Whereas matter is just the opposite. The forms of matter are ever-changing. While Krishna is manifesting various forms, it's all spirit manifesting different forms, but it's not changeable like matter is changeable. The word in Sanskrit is vikaram, or transformations. You know, Prabhupada's phrase is permutations and combinations. Mixing of things makes for change of material form. And it's not just bodies, it's like, you know, the microphone. Before it was microphone, it was different elements in the earth, and then they were extracted and put together to make a microphone. So that's transformation of state, which matter undergoes and spirit doesn't undergo. Krishna isn't drawing upon this and that and the other, mixing together and making different forms. It's all spirit, whether Krishna is in this 3-4-day-year-old small child killing the demon as Putana, or on the Kurukshetra battlefield driving the chariot of Arjuna at 125 years of age, or some days before that showing a forearm form. It's different manifestations of form, not vikarams, not the interaction of material elements, making for, based upon the, you know, the precision of the combination, making a particular manifestation. In that sense, unchanging. In the absolute sense, unchanging. There's variety within the unchanging realm. You okay?
Maharaj, you are explaining about the Nimitta forms, about Lord Narasimhadev also you are saying. I was just reading in Bhagavad Gita, and Parapat Srila Prabhupada says, one can focus one's mind upon any form of Krishna and worship him. So I was just thinking that this Lord Narasimhadev does not have his own abode.
He has his own abode.
But the form is...
form is different. Now, if one worships that form of Narasimhadev, this is, you know, Krishna consciousness 301. It's not 101, this question. But in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in the Vaikuntha realm, the Lord, one sees the Lord in that form that one is most attached to. And for that matter, when Gopal Kumar is on the outskirts, he's outside the gate, the final gate of Vaikuntha, and he sees the personalities coming and going from within Vaikuntha, he sees persons with forms that are, initially he sees them, they're all forearmed, but then he continues seeing persons that have varieties of form. And because the explanation is given by Sanatana Goswami that they manifest those varieties of form to correspond with that mood in which they were when they were worshipping him, and they continue in that form. And similarly, the Lord manifests form according to one's mood of devotion, which seems to say, although I don't recall it specifically being said by our acharyas, although Lord Narasimhadev manifested his half-man, half-lion form. We know from, like, say, the cover of the first canto Bhagavatam or the list that's in Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatana Goswami and found in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that there is an abode of the Lord where the form of Lord of Nrisimhadeva, based upon where the symbols of Vishnu are. It's one of the forms of Narayan, based upon where the symbols of Vishnu are. There is described the forearm form. Now, if someone has great devotion for Lord Nrisimhadeva, according to what Brihat Bhagavatamrita says, although that form is naimittic, that is, you know, occasional and circumstantial of this material realm, the other appears, I'm saying this tentatively, because I don't recall having read it specifically anyway from our acharyas, that the Lord might manifest that form for such devotees to fulfill their desire to see him in that form eternally. But the goddess of fortune, the goddess of fortune is not accustomed to seeing that form of Lord Nrisimhadeva. It's Lord Narayan. I'll research and see what I can find. Someone else?
Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that Srimad Bhagavatam is a sound vibration through which we can see Krishna. So we are hearing, what is that we need to bring change in our hearing to see Krishna?
Did you get the question? Yes? Question is clear? Okay. One of the things that's consistently spoken of is in the Bhagavatam itself is the quality of one's hearing, specifically ardent hearing. Ardent means tivra, very intense, very strong, an eagerness to receive, which matches what Rupa Goswami says about the qualification of a devotee is one's eagerness. So hearing with great eagerness. Again and again we find the description of those who are receivers of the Bhagavatam. Let's say you start with first canto, the sages were eager to receive from Sutta. Maharaj Prakshit was eager to receive from Shukadeva. Maitreya was eager to receive. Maitreya was eager to receive from Krishna and Uddhava, and Vidura was eager to receive from Maitreya, and so on. The qualification, the quality of hearing makes a difference whether we will experience Krishna or not when hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Another very important reference is the last verse of chapter 3, canto 1, where Prabhupada is explaining how one can see Krishna in every page. And you know this section. He says, one can see Krishna in every page if one's condition is pure. And one can be pure only if one is pure in heart. One can be pure in heart only if one is pure in thought. One can be pure in thought if one is pure in eating, working, and something, using our material senses. Then Prabhupada goes back and said, but somehow or another, if one can be pure in one's reception of the message of Bhagavatam, then one can see Krishna just from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Anything else? Right behind. Okay.
Maharaj, we know that different forms of Vishnu expansions reside in Vaikuntas, each Vaikunta. So
different forms of Narayan
Narayan
exist, yes, in Vaikuntha realm. Yeah.
So there are many incarnations of Vishnu, like Varaha, Kurma,
yes,
in animal species. So generally one is not attracted to animal species.
Okay.
So are there any devotees who are attached to particularly?
Yes. Oh yes.
Varaha?
Oh yes. Very much.
Can you please explain?
Sure. I'll give you an example. You know, this explanation is, it's natural. The example, one example is King Satyavrata. King Satyavrata had an attraction for that form of the Lord as Matsya Avatar. He was an ardent worshipper of Matsya Avatar, and so the Lord decided he would manifest himself for the vision of that king. So he did. You know the Leela, yes? The Leela, very simple. In performing some vrata, some austerity, King Satyavrata was performing his offering prayers and offering palmfuls of water unto the devas. And as he was doing that, within his palm came a fish. And the fish spoke to him, a talking fish. The fish said, "This little stream here is too small. Can you place me in a bigger reservoir of water?" Well, he's a king. He took the fish and put the fish in a lake. And the fish expanded, so he was too big for the lake. Then he spoke again and said, "This lake is too small. Can you find another reservoir of water for me?" Took him to a large river. The river was too small. He outgrew the... "Take me to the ocean." Took him to the ocean. He outgrew the ocean. And then King Satyavrata said, "You're not only a talking fish. I can understand you're the personality of Godhead. You're my worshipable Lord. You come just to give me your darshan. How fortunate I am." And then the Lord went on. But so there are persons attracted to such forms. They worship such forms. And the Lord may appear to them. Just like in Ahovalam, another example is, there's a self-manifesting Nrisimhadev from a Shalagram Shila. Because the devotees in Ahovalam, they're very attracted to the Leela of the Lord appearing as the protector of Prahlad, as Lord Nrisimhadev. So directly from the Shalagram Shila, he manifested a form of Lord Nrisimhadev. Just as in Vrindavan, for Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Krishna manifested his form of Radharaman because of the devotion of Gopal Bhatta for the form of Krishna. There's a question way in the back, and with that question, we're going to end.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
It is said that pure duty always looks for two-handed form of Lord Krishna, whereas when it appeared in front of Vasudeva, it was four-handed form. How it can be, can you just clarify it?
You got it? A pure devotee may, it depends on their, you know, ask the residents of Vaikuntha what form they want to see. It depends on their bhava, not their purity. We'll say it the other way around. Would we want to say, it would be a mistake to say, that the residents of Vaikuntha are not pure. It would be correct to say, the residents of Vaikuntha are pure. They are pure devotees. But they have a particular mood of devotion, and their mood of devotion, with all purity, is to see the Lord in His Aishwarya feature. And they feel complete satisfaction in worshipping the All-Majestic Supreme. And the mood is awe and veneration. unto the All Majestic Supreme, and their devotion is perfectly pure. We will not find a taint of something material in their devotion. But the two-arm form that Krishna manifests when he performs his pastimes in Vrindavan has the added feature of sweetness, of intimacy, that's not accessible in Vrindavan. We don't find the residents of in Vaikuntha. We don't find the residents of Vaikuntha climbing on the shoulders of Narayan and saying, "Please carry me. You lost in a battle. We just had a wrestling match and you lost, Narayan, so you now have to carry me on your shoulders. Come on." We don't find that. We don't find the residents of Vaikuntha sitting on the bank of the river Jamuna having lunch with Narayan, taking food from each other's lunch and pushing it in one another's mouth and having Narayan close his eyes and ask Narayan, "Please tell me what food it is just from the taste." And sometimes putting a flower in his mouth instead of food. We don't find that in Vaikuntha. But the love is pure. It says the mood is with awe and reverence. And the mood in Vrindavan is not recognizing the opulence and splendor of Bhagavan, but the sweetness of the loving mood in Vrindavan. He still manifests his divinity in many ways, as just mentioned this morning, or this evening. Putana, Shakatasura, Krishna showing his divinity, but the residents of Vrindavan, by Krishna's mercy, they don't see his divinity. Mother Jasoda thought, "Oh, Narayan is so kind. We've done some pious activities, and so Narayan has protected our child." Madhurya eclipses Aishwarya. And for such persons, the two-arm form of Krishna is their preferred form. And there's other types of intimacy, even outside of Vrindavan, like with Arjuna. How could Arjuna, if he saw Krishna as Narayan, request Narayan, "Please drive my chariot"? Possible? The one's devotion would check one from that. But because of the intimacy of the relationship of Arjuna with Krishna, "Please draw my chariot in between the two armies." "Yes, sir." Okay. That's our last question. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.